Here and just thrilled to see your faces. And what's wonderful, I see so many familiar faces, faces that have been here a long time, faces that have been here for a few years, and faces I've never seen before. So I greet you in Jesus' name. I want to publicly thank Pastors Tim and Katie for inviting me and allowing me to minister and trust me with their pulpit while they're gone. And to all of you visitors or newer people that never heard me, I always like to say this, please don't judge this church based on anything I say or do. I'm not the pastor, I'm a guest. And your pastors are wonderful pastors that teach the word of God and truth. And so if anything I say you don't understand, just don't give up on this church. Come back next week and Pastor Tim will have everything right back in order after I'm done. And so, because it's easy for a guest minister to share his perspective and so forth, but a pastor is with you all the time and knows where the spiritual temperature is and growth. And sometimes guest ministers don't have the same pulse as a pastor. That's why the Bible says the pastor is the most important ministry office in the life of a Christian. So cherish your pastors, pray for them, appreciate them. It's so great that they get this time away to get refreshed and refueled, and that way they can come and serve you all the more. I also want to take just a quick mention and thank all my FCI partners. I have an organization. Not only do I pastor, but I travel throughout the world, and FCI really helps me to do that. So to my partners, thank you. Thank you so much. You mean the world to me. You allow me to do things. I was just in California on my own expense teaching in the Bible school, and I preached 12 times in 4 days. And then I flew all day, got in like Friday midnight, Saturday morning that I preached in Erie. Now I'm here with you. And so because of partners, I'm able to do that. So thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles here this morning, yes. I'm going to invite you to open them to the book of Revelation chapter 12. Book of Revelation chapter 12. Not only do I pastor, but the Lord has given me a voice, not just in Fredonia, not just in the family churches, but throughout the world. And there are people all over the world that follow the ministry, and I go places. And because of that, the Lord has given me messages, not just for us, but for the body of Christ. And very often, because of my other offices, He will show me things to come and give me messages to emphasize from time to time. And it's my job wherever I go just to hear from heaven and what the Lord wants for this particular church, this particular service. And I want to share with you something that the Lord gave me a couple years ago, and from time to time, He's had me to minister along these lines. And the Lord told me this, especially for this church, it'll be a means of divine rescue for some. That God loves you, God wants to help you, what you're going through. And this will be an answer for you. This will be an answer. And we just trust that there will be many a breakthrough because of what we shared here this morning. Of course, we always want to follow the word and what we teach and what we practice. And the book of Revelation chapter 12, and starting with verse 7, I'm going to be reading out of the King James Bible. We invite you to follow along. I believe they may have the scripture on the overhead screen. But if you have a different version, translation, you can follow along that. But it pretty much say the same thing. Maybe a few words will be a little bit more modernized. But it said this, there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. And prevailed not, neither was their place any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out. The old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, and he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down. You just remember that, the accuser of the brethren. That may come up later in the message, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice. Very interesting. Even though this is in a very difficult and trying time and Satan's power is released, what does the Bible say? To what? Rejoice. And Rejoice, ye heavens, and they that dwell therein, and woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil's come down to you having great wrath, because he knoweth he has but a short time. Now, before we go any further, it just seems like a very heavy text, a very deep text, you know, to teach on the book of Revelation on a Sunday morning. Well, I'm not really teaching on the book of Revelation. What I want to do is take this text and look at a principle that applies to us today. I firmly believe that what we just read is for a future event, that this transpires during the tribulation. And the great news is that if you love Jesus and you're born again, you're not going to see the tribulation. What is tribulation? All the scary things you read about in the book of Revelation. The Bible is very clear that there is a rapture, a catching away of the saints, and that will happen before the tribulation. Actually, the Bible teaches the tribulation can't even happen. The Antichrist cannot be revealed until the church is taken out of the way. So that's good news. And so this is a future event, because I always want to put that clause, that I don't want when Pastor Tim come back and say, Pastor Michael taught we're in the tribulation and we ought to go get bunkers and start supplying, you know, hoarding up food. That's not what I'm saying. This is future, but there's a principle here. But what is very interesting, even though it's in the midst of the tribulation, the worst the world's ever seen, it said to the saint to rejoice. You know, that's just like Jesus. Jesus talked about the end days. When you see these things come to pass, what do you say? Look down and frown and wail and cry? No, he said what? To look up. Because we're always on the victory side. We're children of God. And so here, it even said in the tribulation that those that have to endure the tribulation, if they come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they overcame him. They overcame it. And so even in the midst of the worst of the worst, anyone that loves and serves Jesus overcomes the devil every single time. So whenever we talk about the devil, we're never looking at a message of doom, gloom, defeat. He is always, always under our feet. No matter what is going on in the earth, he is under our feet. Now, the reason I chose this text is I want us to see a principle that here in the tribulation, there comes a time when he's cast out of heaven. Now, we know this, that he's not cast out of the third heaven where God is, because God does not share his throne with Satan. It's talking about this second heaven, the spiritual realm. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places or heavenly places. So he's talking about all these evil spirits that are ruling in this, what I call the second heavens, that even in that realm, they're cast down to earth. And when that happens, the devil knows his time is short, that he has just a few days left, a few weeks left. And because of this, is the Bible says, because he knows his time short, that he goes out with great wrath, or he increases his activity. Now, that's the principle that I want us to look at, that when the end comes, the closer to the end of the world, that Satan will increase his activity. This is no new news to us. Jesus told us that there would be things that will happen, you know, earthquakes, pestilence, wars, rumors of wars, that these things will come to pass. What is that? That's just the work of Satan. Those things are not authored of God. They're authored of the devil. And Jesus told us, as you approach the end, more and more of these things will happen. Again, Jesus said, don't look down, look up. You know, we overcome these things. And actually, it's encouraging. The more wild and crazy things you see in the world, the more you know that our redemption comes nigh. Jesus is coming soon. But the thing I want to look at is increased spiritual activity. I want to look at this activity. I'm a firm believer. You know, James chapter 5 says before the coming of the Lord that Jesus is waiting for a great harvest. So Jesus wants to come, but before Jesus can come, there has to be a great harvest of souls. But James 5 says before that can happen, that he is waiting for the early and latter rain. And simply, that simply means this: before there's a great harvest, there's got to be a great outpouring of the Spirit. Just like crops cannot grow without rain, especially in the day in the Bibles, they didn't have irrigation like we do today. They depend on the rain. They need the rain for the harvest to ripen, the harvest to be reaped. And the same thing spiritually. You know, the word has gone out internet, personal soul winning, the Jamestown revival. We're sowing seeds and sowing seeds and sowing seeds. Well, for the fullness of those seeds to grow and mature, there's got to be water, an outpouring of the Spirit. And the Bible is very clear on that. And also the many, many prophets have prophesied about the last day move of God. And I'm one of them. And the Lord has had me teach on these things, what to expect and to prepare the body of Christ for the last day move of God. So it is coming. We're going to enter in a time that the world has never seen before. Jesus said that the church, the last day church, would be greater than the previous church. That means in the book of Acts. We see in the book of Acts, the last day church is going to do more. There'll be more miracles, more signs and wonders. It's part of the last day move of God. And we're thrilled and we're gearing up for that. Amen. Amen. But what we want to see, when this is coming and is coming, the devil isn't just going to say, well, I guess my time is short. I might as well go into early retirement and just wait for the angel to, you know, clasp those irons on me and send me to hell. No, no, the Bible says when he sees his time is short, that he's going to up his game. And I want to talk about that, and I want to see what his game is, and not by any means but fear, because remember, we overcome. We always win. We rejoice, and we always win. But the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 2, that we're not ignorant of his devices. And we want to see how he works. And if we know how he works, and we can just put an assault, we can put up a front, that he has no place in us. Or I like I don't know if it's a rhyme or a little story. You remember the three little pigs? Oh, yeah. You know? That the big bad wolf, you know, wants to eat those little pigs. And the first little pig, he built a house of straw, and he huffed and puffed and blew the house down. And so they went to his brother's house made of, sticks was it? It's been a while. And so here's two little piggies, and the big bad wolf came and huff and puff. Aren't you being glad you're being entertained with nursery rhymes here this morning? And blew that house down. But then they went to the third brother, the third pig, and his house was made of stone or brick. And, you know, that wolf huffed and puffed, one blew the house, and he kept huffing and puffing and could not blow the house down. And so no matter how much that wolf howled and puffed, those pigs were parting inside. And so that's our life. Jesus said that they that build their lives on the rock is like when the winds and storms come, they stand. They stand victorious because their life is built on the rock and the word. And so when I'm teaching about the increased activity, I'm talking about standing. I'm talking about rejoice. I'm talking about feasting in the presence of your enemies. But yet we're not to be ignorant of the devices. If we know how the devil works, then we can identify and say, hey, that is a wolf. That is a devil. He has no place in me. And we rejoice. And we are glad. And we continue to have victory. So this is the premise that I want to teach on. Now, several years ago, and because of my other offices that I operate, I had a vision. I saw this a couple of years ago, that there would be a great assault, a great darkness targeted against the church, targeted against the believers. Again, why is this? The church is going to enter the most glorious time. Greater works, greater signs and wonders. And so Satan is endeavoring to up his game to try to keep people away from that, Christians away from that. And so I saw this in a vision. And then at the end of the vision, the word of the Lord came on me. That's the audible voice of the Holy Ghost. And he said this, and many of my people will not be ready for this. And so from that time, that vision, I would taught that if you come to any of my meetings, I brought that up in the past few years and things the Lord has showed me concerning it. And, you know, and just to get people ready. Again, not to be afraid, but the key is that we're not to be ignorant of his devices. Now, let's look at another scripture that tells us this, just make sure that we're interpreting the word correctly. And it's found in 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Again, I'm laying a foundation, first of all, that we see in the word the last days, greater satanic activity. Again, not to be afraid, but not to be ignorant as well. It says this in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And it says this, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, means in the end days, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now again, we see this, it's talking about the latter days. You know, Paul is writing by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and so he's writing about hundreds and thousands of years from the time that he wrote that. And so he says in the last days that there's going to be things that are happening. So he's telling the future, and it's part of the assault of the army of darkness in last days. And it's something called seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And so again, just scripturally, we see last days increase satanic activity. Now, what is very interesting, it talks about seducing spirits, or we could just say evil spirits that simply want to seduce or mislead and misguide. Now, what is the objective of these seducing spirits? Well, here we see quite clear, it says to cause people to depart from the faith. Now, the number one thing the devil would love for you to do is to give up on Jesus, is to backslide, go into the world, and give up on Jesus. And so these spirits will try to seduce, try to suggest, try to, you know, they arrange things to get people to stumble and to turn away from Jesus. Now we've seen that in a measure. You know, what's very interesting during COVID, I believe not only was that a natural physical thing, but I believe there was a spiritual thing behind it, that a lot of things happened during that time, that people stopped serving the Lord, people stopped going to church, people stopped serving Jesus and doing things like they did before. And what they do, they kind of either departed from the Lord or they departed from church. Now, that's a key there, that because many times when we read that depart from faith, we just simply think it's departing from the faith. But the Spirit of God said this, a job of a seducing spirit is simply to get people to depart. Now, of course, number one, they would love to get you to depart from Jesus and from loving Jesus, but also they will endeavor to try to get you to depart from an important connection in your life. Probably one of the greatest connections every Christian has is the local church. Jesus said this, that when he saw the multitudes, and the Amplified said they were harassed, dejected, you know, they were tormented because they were what? Sheep without a shepherd. And so Jesus set up pastors. Jesus set up the local church. It was not a man-made idea. It was a God-instituted idea. The church is like a sheepfold. Jesus said, I'm the shepherd and you are my sheep. And every sheep needs a sheepfold. And when a sheep finds the right sheepfold, that pastor, that shepherd or pastor is there to protect, to feed, to guide. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, there is a divine enrichment from the head of the church through the pastor to every congregational member. That's why I love what it says, it's a place to get answers. When you find the right place, you're going to get answers. That is a divine connection. That's what God orchestrated. And so with sheep, let's go back to a sheep and a natural shepherd. A sheep receives from the shepherd guidance, direction, pastures, but another thing, a protection, divine protection. As long as a sheep is in the fold, that sheep is protected not only by other members of the flock, but the pastor. And there are wolves out in the mountains and the fields that would love to devour sheep. As long as that shepherd's there, he can't touch them. But if a wolf's greatest desire is to find a sheep separated from their shepherd and the flock. And what if a sheep gets the idea, you know what? I don't need a shepherd. I don't need the flock. You're a bunch of hypocrites anyway. You rub my wool wrong, you know. And, you know, I don't even get up. I can be just a good enough sheep without the shepherd, without the flock. Blessed be God. I can be my own sheep. And I'm still a shepherd. Hear me baa, you know. And you go and you just sense, well, look at me. All you guys are in bondage being with that shepherd. I'm a free sheep. It may feel good for a while to go wherever you want, do whatever you want, and eat whatever you want. But nighttime comes. Starts getting cold and says, man, I really could have used the warmth of my other sheep and the fire of my shepherd. And you know, I'm kind of hungry and I can't see any food here. And all of a sudden, the wolves. You know, here's a sheep away from the shepherd, away from protection. And how many know that is the desire of every wolf? To get a sheep separated. So that sheep departed from the shepherd and the flock. And when there is a departure, there's an easier vulnerability to the works of Satan. And that's what I want to look at. And it's, again, just if you could put this on the overhead screen, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and I believe it is verse 11. It says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. Lest Satan get advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. And so these seducing spirits are out trying to get people to depart. And not only depart from faith, but their point of place. And we know this in local church. It's happened. It's a pandemic. I travel all over the world, and more people are getting offended at the pastor, offended the church, and even leadership, and even pastor against their spiritual leaders. And they're getting offended. And what does that do? When they get offended, what do? They depart. And they're looking at just for their own natural reasons, like that sheep, saying, you know, I don't need this church. I don't need this pastor. I don't need my spiritual father. I can be just a good enough Christian. Little did they know that they're being seduced. And that's what I want to look at. And not only to be seduced from like spiritual things, but also natural things. That the Bible says this, a house united cannot stand if it's divided. A house cannot stand if it's divided. And so he will seek to seduce people to get divided. You know, not only has there been an assault on the church world, but home and marriages. Now again, this is a divine rescue. And we're not ignorant of his devices. Even Jesus, it said this in the wilderness, he was tempted and tested of the devil. And because he knew how to stand and recognize the suggestion, the devil said, get behind me, get behind me, get behind me. Satan had no part in him. Same thing, when we understand the suggestion is of Satan and stand against that, he has no part in it. He can huff and puff all he wants. Now, I'm going to share something with you. Again, just to let you know that all of us go through these things, but the importance of recognizing it. From time to time, like it said, Jesus depart from sin. I have seasons where I wake up and all of a sudden I have this accusing thought against my wife. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. I could have a mic and have you all share. But, you know, it comes against me stronger than you would because I'm in ministry, because I'm a point person. And my ministry would only be as good as my marriage. if there would be problem in my marriage, my house would not stand. And because if I don't have a good home life, I don't have a good ministry. Your home is the qualification for ministry. And I don't have time to teach that, but it's in the Bible. God says, if you don't know how to rule your own house, how shall you take care of the church of God? And so Satan will try, and it'll be accusations and accusations. What is he doing? He's trying to seduce me. He's trying to seduce me. Now, let me pause here. Let me tell you the experience I had. That many times God speaks to me in the bathroom. I don't know why it is, but God speaks. You can ask my staff, ask my wife. For some reason, if I go in the bathroom, there's where God speaks to me. And many times, even staff meeting, I don't know what to do. So, excuse me, I go in the bathroom and God speaks to me and I come back with the answer. So, if you don't know what to do, just go to the bathroom. But not right now, okay? But I remember one day I was getting ready for work and I'm just, you know, shaving or brushing my teeth, maybe because your mind is not on anything. And the Holy Ghost said this to me. He said, whenever you have an accusing thought about your spouse or any other person, know that you're listening to a demon. And, you know, at that time, I wasn't having an attack, but I know that from time to time I'm attacked. And so, oh, dear God, forgive me, you know. And I thought he was dealing with me. And how many know that can apply to all of us? But when I went to that office that day, I had a couple there, and they were having troubles. And she spoke and accused him. And he spoke and accused her. I says, oh, that is why he told me that. But the reason they were having troubles is they were listening to the wrong voice in their head. You need to understand, people don't just wake up one morning and say, you know what, I'm not going to serve God, I'm not going to church anymore. There's thoughts, suggestions. And if you don't recognize them as a devil, you will continually think on those things, speak on things until you act on things, and all of a sudden it causes what? A departure. So back to me, I would get seasons for accusation. And you know what I do? I laugh. I said, you're crazy. You're crazy, devil. I recognize that. I recognize what you're trying to do. And I'd laugh and say, get behind me, Satan. You know, and just like Jesus, when I did that, he was trying to huff and puff and blow my house down. But he couldn't because I recognized the suggestion. Now, turn with me. And this is what I look at. If you recognize suggestion, you'll have complete victory all the time. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. And we'll see how this works. Remember, seducing spirits. Again, not to be afraid of it. We all experience it, but just to recognize it. And when you recognize it and deal with it, you're like that little pig in the stone house. I mean, you can look out the shutter and you can taunt the wolf. You ain't getting me. You're out there, I'm in here, and you can rejoice and feast in his presence if you recognize the suggestion. Now, notice in second, again, the Lord gave me this as a divine rescue to help you recognize some things, to get a hold of your thoughts about some things, to know who is the author of the thoughts. All right, 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So what is it talking about? It's talking about the Garden of Eden. And we see how seducing spirits work. And this verse tells us that Satan in his cunningness and craftiness seduced Eve. So let's go back in the Garden of Eden. paradise, perfect temperature. Now, I know in the Garden of Eden it was warm. It's God's will for it to be warm. Snow is of the curse, just my personal thing. How do you know that? It said God walked with Adam in the what? Cool of the day. That means in the heat of the day it was warm. So I have my chapter and verse. Don't try to argue with me about that. Yeah. And so a perfect couple and a perfect place. All is well in paradise. They live forever happily together in the plan and purpose of God. All is well. A divine union, a divine place. Until the snake showed up. And what did the snake do? Suggested something to Eve. Now, the devil didn't come and says, "Hi, I'm the devil. I've come to steal and kill and destroy. I want to bring the curse to you. I want to steal your authority. I want to bring sickness and disease. I want to make your life miserable. And so just do what I say and all will be mine. And your life, you'll go from paradise to prison in your life." No, he didn't. What he did, and he didn't say turn on God, he suggested something to her to get her thinking. Now, this suggestion, if you read the account, had an element of truth. He brought up about the tree that they weren't supposed to eat. Isn't that the tree you're not supposed to eat? Yeah. Adam, Eve says, yeah, God said that we shouldn't eat of that tree. Yeah, it's a beautiful tree. But the real reason why you shouldn't eat the tree, because you'll know between good and evil, you'll be like God. And begin to paint this picture of why she should eat the tree. Or let me just say eat the apple. I know it was an apple tree, so eat the apple. And so he had an agenda to get her to depart from grace, depart from paradise, to bring her and her husband to bondage, human race in bondage. But he didn't paint that picture. He painted a beautiful, tempting apple. And he suggested and suggested. And as long as she heeded that suggestion and then acted on that suggestion, what? She ate an apple. And what happened when she acted on the suggestion? They departed. They departed from God's presence and they departed from paradise. And their life now is imprisoned with sin, with sickness and disease. Again, that's how the devil operates. All he has is suggestions. And do you recognize that? Now, what if Eve maybe was, and Adam and Eve stood up and said, "No, you don't. You're the devil. You come to steal and kill and destroy. Not my garden." If they would guard the garden, we'd be in paradise today. But they heeded that suggestion. And so this is what I'm looking at. Be careful of what you think on. Many years ago, last year, the Holy Ghost told me, he says, "Tell my people to watch their thoughts or guard their thoughts." And the reason is, if Adam and Eve would guard their thoughts, watch their thoughts, the enemy would have no place in them. From time to time, thoughts will come to me trying to get me to bite the apple. And if I bite the apple, say, and start agreeing with accusing thoughts against my wife, then there would be a departure. Now, let me help you with this. With Eve, there was an element of truth to the suggestions that Satan brought her. That was, and she looked at three, it's a desire to make one wise. There was something truthful and something enticing about the suggestions. Yeah. It has to be truthful. It has to be suggestive. or we won't eat. If the devil came knocking at your door and he is, you know, 8 feet tall and he's all red with a pitchfork and a pointed tail and smells like sulfur, and he says, "I am the devil, I'll come steal and kill and destroy. Can I come in your house?" You know, not one of us. Not one of us would invite him in. But if he was like dressed up as a little old lady or maybe a salesperson and has a ploy of being kind, like a sheep in wolf's clothing, then maybe we'd open the door. And the same thing with suggestions. That there's an element of truth. There's something enticing. I use these illustrations, and it proves the point. You know, we have mice in Western New York. And sometimes mice get in the home. And you don't want mice in the home. Now, if you're a mice lover, forgive me for my illustration. But usually to get rid of mouse, you have to set a mouse trap. And you buy a mouse trap. You know, it can be a Save Ark mouse trap. No mouse is going to go to that mouse trap unless there's a reason for him to go near that mouse trap. There has to be a big chunk of cheese, peanut butter, bacon, or something. And man, that makes him want to bite the bait. But without that morsel, something juicy, tempting, you wouldn't buy it unless it's just a stupid mouse and didn't know where she was going. You need bait. Same thing fishing. You know, we live in the area, a lot of fishing. You know, I grew up fishing. My dad taught me how to fish. You know, if you're on a boat and you put down a line, there's a hook on the end of your line. You could put it in the water, and you're not going to catch any fish with just a hook, unless he's a very stupid or hungry fish. Here, that hook is exposed. But man, you put a big, juicy earthworm on it. My dad taught me how to do it, where you hide the hook, and that earthworm does a pole dance on that hook. You know, look at me. I mean, wow, all the fish are looking. You know, they're doing a fight over that. Because there's something tantalizing, something enticing to get them focused on the bait and not the trap. And you need to know that about your thoughts. That Satan will use an element of truth to get you to bite the bait. Marriages. How many know that God ordained husband and wife? And God has brought together what? Let no man put asunder. And so God's will is together in unity. Satan's wants to bring division and departure. And so what will he do? He just can't make you depart, but he can suggest things to you. Did you find out that your spouse is human? Did you find out your spouse is different than you are? And now I know this. Did you find out, you know, your spouse is not perfect? And there's certain ways and things about them that were meant to help you and compliment you, but sometimes they can rub you wrong. Yeah. I must be in the right place. It's getting awfully quiet. Okay, I'm just telling you. Add me, God ordained, marriage God ordained. But then he'll suggest thoughts. That's why he comes with accusing thoughts. And, you know, well, she always does that. He always does that. We should be further along. He's not taking his place. She's not taking her place. Suggestions. Now, for those that are single folk, you know, just watch. How many here that you're married and you had a thought or suggestion against your spouse? Raise your hand. Every hand will be up. Unless you got married this morning. And we'll give you to tonight, then your hand will go up. Yeah. What is that? To get you to depart from paradise. See, if you can control your thoughts, you can keep in paradise. If you recognize the thoughts, if you recognize Hey, any accusing thought, that is bait and snare. Unfortunately, you know, when it came to church, a lot of people biting a bait about their pastor. Biting a bait, suggestions. But also in marriage, in the workplace. Any accusing thought. Remember, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. If you have a thought against accusing the church, accusing the pastor, accusing another brother and sister, accusing your spouse, the Holy Ghost says you're listening to a demon. And what he's trying to do is to get you to depart. If you'll listen to it, it can lead you to... Notice Adam and Eve were perfect in the perfect place, but a suggestion he didn't act on took him out of perfection that God ordained. Now, this is an illustration just to show the importance of listening to, paying attention to what you think on. That's why the Bible says take every thought captive, every thought, and say, what does the word say? Is that an accusing thought? Is that a good thought? Or is that a thought of the word? Or is that a thought of Satan? Jesus, my spiritual father is Kenneth E. Hagin, and Jesus gave him a vision and taught him about how the devil works and gave him a vision and showed how the devil works. And we're going to see about departure through a suggestion. You can read about this in the book, I Believe in Visions by Kenneth E. Hagin, that Jesus gave him a vision and saw a woman that was in ministry with her husband. And that they had a very successful ministry, and they had a very successful marriage. Hence, what God has brought together, let no man put asunder. That's paradise. Husband, wife, heaven on earth, your home. You do know if it's not heaven on earth, you're thinking wrong. Yes, you're thinking wrong. Because you're pointing fingers when you just need to realize, I need to think right. As a man thinketh, so is he. That will have perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. And whatever you're thinking on, that's the spirit you're fellowshipping with. If you're thinking on God's word, you have joy and peace and victory and so forth. But you're thinking wrong thoughts, you're going to be a victim. And you're going to be pointing fingers and you'll be all twisted up on the inside. Again, this is a divine rescue. And so here, back to that woman in the vision Kenneth Hagin had. And Jesus said, she was my daughter. And she had a good marriage. And not only a good marriage, she was in ministry of her husband and in a ministry of her own. And this woman happened to be very beautiful and very, very talented, a very talented singer. And no doubt if she would have went in the world, would have been very, very famous. And they were in paradise, and all of a sudden a little demon jumps on her shoulder and says, you know, you're a beautiful woman. You know, the devil didn't tell you you're ugly. No, you're something enticing. Ooh, everyone wants to be told they're beautiful. Husbands, tell your wife you're beautiful, and she'll be enticed by you. You're a beautiful woman, and you're very talented. But you're losing out in this lowly life as a Christian. Man, you in the world, you could have fame, popularity, and you can have wealth. Well, that's true. That's a temptation, and there's truth with that temptation. But she recognized it was the devil, and she said, get behind me, Satan. And guess what? The devil suggested when she recognized that's a devil and said, no, you don't. The devil had no place in her. And that would happen time and time again. And every time she resisted it, all is well in paradise. But one day the devil came and began to say, you're a beautiful woman. She started thinking, yeah, I'm a beautiful woman. One day that, and you're not wrong thinking you're a beautiful woman, but you got to keep it in check. You know, you could have done so much more in the world. And she began to think about that. Yeah, I could be famous. I could be wealthy. I can do my own thing. And she began to heed those suggestions. Again, simple suggestions. Not the devil saying, I'm here, I've come to ruin your life. Suggestions and thoughts, seducing spirits. And so she began to entertain those thoughts. Thoughts are seeds seeking to harvest your life. That's why it's important what you think on. And you know what happened? Number one, she departed from ministry. Number two, she departed from her husband. And because she went down a certain road, three, she departed from Jesus. A time came that says, Jesus, I don't want you to get out of my life. And in the vision, that woman went to hell. Now, she went from paradise to perdition by a simple suggestion. That's why we got to be very careful what we think on. Any accusing thought. And my time is slipping away, but turn with me something very interesting. I know this is sobering, but the Lord sent me as a divine rescue. A divine rescue. Thoughts, suggestions, trying to get you to depart. Recognize it, say, no, you don't, devil. You're a free person. Now look at this in Acts chapter 14. Not only do thoughts come, the devil would suggest, but other people that have been seduced will try to seduce you. And you got to be careful of that too. Again, I'm sent here by the head of the church, Lord Jesus, to deliver this message. 1 Corinthians 14:1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of Jews, and so spake a great multitude, both Jews and of the Greeks believed. So Paul here is preaching. God is doing something, and people are being helped and blessed. All is well in paradise. But let's read the very next verse. And the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. So what's it saying? God is doing great things. God is blessing in the church. God is doing things. And some people that were unhappy and seduced already begin to talk to others. And it said this, it made their minds ill affected. It poisoned their minds. Yeah, yeah. So not only you have to beware of thoughts, but other voices. How many people in a good church, love the church, all is well, and all of a sudden someone's disgruntled starts speaking. Yeah. Yeah. And they're seduced to depart. Can I tell you a true story? Yes. True story. Again, I use illustrations in my life. I remember I was meeting with a person, and this person was having difficulties with a couple of my leaders, a married couple leaders. And these leaders have been with me for a long time. They've been faithful. I mean, they tithe, they give, they serve. I mean, they're role model leaders. But this person was having problems with them. Now, I didn't know that that's the reason why this person met with me, but began to say all the problems they had with this person. So my appointments are only half an hour long. And so, you know, of course, I encourage this person to do the word and so forth. And after they left, I usually have about 15-minute break before my next appointment. I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, I'm inundated with thoughts against that couple that she accused. And I'm there, and, you know, before this person spoke to me, I was fine with him. But after, and it was a woman, she spoke to me, I have a problem with them. They're bad. They're really, really bad. And I was getting upset with them. Yeah, bless God. I'm going to revoke them. And I'm sitting there. I said, what is that? My mind got evil affected by her. What was on her was trying to get on me, and it was a spirit. And so I said, no, you don't. Oh, I see what this is. No, you don't, Satan. No, you don't. I break it. Not on me, you don't. And all of a sudden, guess what? couple was wonderful again. Yeah. Yeah. And see, sometimes you think someone is big, bad, and ugly and mean is simply perceptions about that person and influence being corrupted by suggestions. Yeah. Can I tell you another experience? I had a vision, and I saw a wonderful Christian person, and I saw them in the spirit. Whenever you see someone cry, that means great hardship has come their way. And I saw them walking in darkness. Again, not turn their back. They love the Lord, but getting in bondage and in prison and just hardships in life. And I saw them, and the word of the Lord, the audible voice of the Holy Ghost says, the reason they're going to darkness is their perceptions are wrong. They're perceiving things, and they think that's the truth. Remember when I met with that woman? What was on her affected my mind, and it altered my perceptions. And this wonderful couple were great and wonderful, but because of that influence, now I thought they were bad and evil, and so it altered my perception. And if I would have continued to act and fellowship with that, my perceptions would have been wrong about those people, and it would have caused strife and division. And so, brothers and sisters, I'm sent here on a rescue. And I'm going to say, well, it's not me. Wonderful. It's wonderful. But you see how these things work. Suggestions. Be careful on what you think on. Be careful of suggestions other people bring you to. How many times people are disgruntled with the boss? They want to talk about boss. And then they start talking to others, and then other people get disgruntled. A house divided cannot stand. But when you recognize these thoughts and simply say, like Jesus did when they came, "Ha, that's the devil. I'm not going to think on that. I resist you. You resist the devil, he flees from you." Brothers and sisters, don't bite the apple. And if you don't bite the apple, guess what? You'll remain in paradise. You'll remain in your local church. You'll remain in your marriage. You'll remain in your workplace. Your life will be blessed by God. Simply, you know, understanding, not being ignorant of Satan's devices. Now, I know this is a little heavy for a Sunday morning, but the Holy Ghost said this. You send that and it'll be a rescue for some. And so I'm here. You know what a rescue is? If someone is on a ship and they're overboard, they throw what? A life rack or life, what do you call that circle thing? To rescue. And he said, this is a divine rescue. A divine rescue. And so, and I tell you, life is easy. If life is not light and easy, you're doing it wrong. It's all up here. Yes, I've come to tell you, it's all in your head. Yes. But that's why it's so important. Come church, get your mind renewed. Speak to those thoughts. Every thought, take captive. And I tell you, you'll remain in paradise and your appointed place. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful. Now, Father, I knew specifically that you told me, I shared this in the area, but specifically you said it would be divine rescue. Especially here. And Lord, you said, do you know the truth, and truth will make us free. Father, because the suggestions come, I know the truth of where those thoughts are from and the intent of that those thoughts. I can resist them and I remain free. But Father, right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray for the spirit of wisdom revelation. I pray for light and understanding. And Father, that all of us will be like those that built their house on the rock, that no matter what suggestions come, We identify those suggestions, and Father, we walk in the light of the Word. Now, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm gonna give two calls here. First of all, we just wanna make sure everyone is born again. You know, this may be all new to you. Maybe you're visiting here this morning. Maybe you don't understand everything that's said here this morning. I want to encourage you to come, when the pastor is here, and just keep on. He'll teach you the Word of God. But maybe this is all new to you. But the most important thing for you is, if you were to die this day, would you go to heaven? Do you know? Do you have that assurance that I am a child of God, and if I were to pass away, I'd go to heaven? The beautiful thing is, when you're born again, He puts that assurance in you. If I were to die right now, I'd go to heaven. How could I know that? When you're a child of God, God's Spirit comes in you and He gives you that assurance. It's the greatest thing, the greatest peace, knowing that after this life is paradise. But maybe you don't have that assurance. You can have that assurance. Jesus Christ came. He died for you. He died for your sins. And that way you can go to heaven. And the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So real quick, before we conclude this service, we just want to make sure everyone is born again and walking with the Lord. Is there anybody here that you've never been born again, or you're what we call backslidden, you're away from God, and you want to rededicate your life? Can I have the privilege of just praying for you? I'm not going to ask you to come up or anything, but I just want to see your hand. I want to pray for you right where you're at. And we're not going to embarrass you, ask you to stand or anything, but is there anybody here you've never been born again, like to be born again, or you're what we call backslidden, and you want to rededicate your life to the Lord? Would you raise your hand? Once you I see that hand back, God bless you, put it down. Anybody else? We're not here to judge you or condemn you. This is between you and the Lord. We just want to know what we're praying for. We had a hand raised. Anybody else you'd like to receive Jesus or like to rededicate your life? Again, no one's looking around. This is between you and God. But just raise your hand. Once you raise your hand, I identify it. You can put it down. Anybody else? For those on live stream, I can't see your hand, but God can. And everybody's so precious and important to the Lord. And so we had someone raise their hand, and maybe some others that maybe want to but didn't. Let's just say a simple prayer together with those that raise their hand, should raise their hand. And those that raised their hand or should have raised their hands, make this your prayer, and God's going to hear your prayer, and your life's going to be changed. Let's everyone pray this after me and say this. Dear God, I believe that Jesus is your Son and died for me and rose again from the dead. Right now, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father. I'm now your child, and my life will never ever be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. And for those that raised your hand, I want to encourage you to keep coming to church, keep hearing the words, a place like this that you drew closer to God, you learned about God, and never let anything separate you from God or the things of God, like a local church or your pastor. And before I turn the service over to Pastor Brad, normally I don't do this on a Sunday morning, especially if the pastor is not here. But if you're here, you know, I talked about, you know, there's an assault against the church, and it doesn't mean that you're weak, because I've experienced these things. But if you hear, and it seems like things are, you know, so heavy, like they're not, you can be oppressed, depressed, or you know, your mind is right, and you're trying to get a hold of your mind, but your mind just keeps going, and just seems like you're in rut in your mind, and you just need some help. I have an anointing that will help you. And so, is there anybody that would like me to lay hands on to help them concerning their thoughts, maybe an oppression, a heaviness, and so forth? Because God wants you free. God wants you free. Is there anybody? Raise your hand. Anybody? Just come on up. Come on up. Again, I'm just going to lay hands, let my anointing come upon you. And for those of you who are up here, just have your hands out like this. And when I lay hands on you, don't pray, just receive. And the rest of us, let's just stretch forth our hands to these. And Father, thank you for my brothers and sisters. And Father, just thank you for the anointing that breaks the yoke. And Father, as I lay hands on them, I thank you for every yoke broken and destroyed. In Jesus' name. Can I see your hands up? Be blessed in Jesus' name. We break every assignment. We command light and liberty in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, we break every assignment. In the name of Jesus, we break every assignment. Be blessed. In the name of Jesus, we break every assignment. Be blessed. In the name of Jesus, we break every assignment. Be blessed. In the name of Jesus, we break every assignment and be blessed. In the name of Jesus, we break every assignment. In the name of Jesus, we break every assignment. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to turn it over to you. Service when something breaks. You know, when they chase, when they send off a new cruise ship, what do? They break a bottle.
Yeah.
There, we had a good service.
Yeah. Praise God. We'll get that taken care of. Yeah, we did have a good service, didn't we? Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. I got help. I trust you did. Pastor Michael, thank you for obeying God for a word in season. We're going to go ahead and we want to honor Pastor Michael today. We're going to take up an offering for him. And hey, just be led. Follow God. Make sure you're if the Lord tells you to give whatever, obey God. Amen. But the other thing says that God delights in a cheerful prompt to do a giver. Hey, if it's $1, if it's $1 million, just make sure your joy is connected to it. That's what an offering is. But I love Pastor Michael because he is now, Pastor, how many years have you now been in full-time ministry? 40 years in December that Pastor Michael, you know, I love what Jesus said to Peter. He says, if you love me, feed my sheep. There's no, I want to say there's many expressions of love, but when you see the faithfulness of an individual who truly, sincerely loves the Lord, he's a feeder of the sheep. And so he delivered our help here today. And so we want to go ahead and take up an offering. If you're making out a check, you can make that out to the church because we're going to give Pastor Michael one big check afterwards. So I came prepared today. I knew we were going to be taking up an offering. Ushers, if you'll come forward at this time. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you that, Father, we leave change here today. And Father, we thank you for an opportunity to sow seed into good ground. And we know, Father, that harvest is imminent. So Father, we thank you for Family Church International. We thank you for Pastor Michael. And it is an honor for us to bless him and give. And we thank you that it comes back in good measure. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Ushers, if you'll serve the people. Amen. Well, we got our help. Praise the Lord. Let's be doers of the word. We're not going to be taking thoughts of the enemy. Praise the Lord. If it's something that is contrary to the word of God concerning your spouse, concerning your employer. And this just happened to me. I know a couple weeks ago, I was working and this individual came in and he did some things in the property. And man, I just fought him in my mind. I saw myself breaking arms and breaking legs and everything else. And so you have to capture those things because it comes on heavy and not given to those things. But praise the Lord. As the ushers are going by, how about before we leave, why don't we go ahead and stand to our feet? Let's just love on the Lord here this morning. We'll be dismissed. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We glorify. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this day. We give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You are dismissed.